T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Overnight America continues, and one of the big stories over the weekend was around not the song Gloria, but around the phrase "Play Gloria." Oh yeah. Who knows? Maybe Jeremy Boyer is listening right now, or maybe not. But this is the organist for the Blues, and he does some Cardinals games, and it doesn't get any better than Jeremy around town. Just play this out. Have a good night, everyone. I just play this for 2 hours. Well, you may have seen this online. The bar in Philadelphia, which is Jack NYB, stated on Facebook that they have sent cease and desist letters all around St. Louis for anyone using the phrase "Play Gloria." Oh, come on now. Come on now. Again, Philadelphia doing what Philadelphia does best. You know, pretending to be your friend, and then when it comes down to it, they're really not. You know, they're all into it themselves. I'm so disappointed in this bar. You know, they came out here. Everyone paid for them to celebrate with the Blues because of the origin story of Play Gloria. They were doing everything they could to connect. And how's it end up? Well, let's go around and just cease and desist everyone. So let me ask you, if you've heard this story, let me give you the phone number. Are you taking sides? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So it seems as though Philadelphia, we should have known better, but that's what they do. They sent cease and desist letters to St. Louis t-shirt company Arch Apparel, the Blues, and others who have been selling those shirts that say "Play Gloria," according to the Missouri Lawyers Weekly. Attorneys for Arch Apparel expressed that Arch Apparel and Jack's NYB have been in communication, working towards a resolution. So they post a few things online. Here's what they posted. The one bar in Philadelphia said, "Here's the truth. When we found out that the other companies were using our Play Gloria trademark to make money off of it, we reached out to them to try to make a deal with them." So this is how they start the Facebook thing. I later found out they actually didn't try to trademark this until like May. Now, keep in mind, the Blues have been using this for a long time. The whole lore behind Gloria itself was, you know, one of the Blues players or the Blues players were in Philadelphia. They went into this bar. They heard the song. They liked it. They kept wanting to hear it. And then they brought it back and said, you know what? You know, if we win, it's going to be because of this song. And every time they win, they play this song. And it became a good luck deal for it. And you know what? The fans grabbed onto it. They said, "Play Gloria" every time the Blues won. Okay. So the actual trademark was applied for, I think it was May 8th. I have to look at the exact date, but I'm pretty sure it was like May 8th. Well after everyone was using this in common speak. Anywhere in St. Louis, you couldn't go anywhere with the Blues playing as well as they were, Bennington playing as well as he was, and he was just signed to a 2-year extension, which is good news. You couldn't do it. So then they put this out there, and they say they are the ones that are the trademark owners for it, which is absolute a joke, right? But no, they're very serious about this. And it says, if they're going to profit from it, why shouldn't we get a small piece of the pie? Well, because it's not yours. That's why. Play Gloria is not yours. So when you look at trademarks, I looked up another blog that explained this almost perfectly. Almost perfectly. They said, the issue, however, is that the bar's name is not Play Gloria. All it has done is released a shirt that says the Play Gloria phrase on it. It is unlikely that trademark rights can exist on that t-shirt alone. Why not? They said. Okay, because there's other trademarks that could exist by itself, like Golden Arches, you know, that's automatically McDonald's. You can't just be Golden Arches. It says, these logos identify a brand or source so that anytime you walk into a store wearing that logo out front or buy a product with the logo on it, you know the source. Simply putting Play Gloria on a t-shirt does nothing to identify the source of the goods and thus does not function as a trademark in any ordinary sense of the term. You see how that works out? Now, if they were to come up with some real fancy logo, some really clever graphic of Play Gloria, and then someone were to rip off their artwork that they created that says Play Gloria, then that would be a different story. But the words Play Gloria by themselves in a font on a shirt, not the same thing, not even close to the same thing. So, you know what? I think this trademark is still pending. I don't even think they received the okay with the trademark. In fact, they may not even get this trademark. And the fact that Arch Apparel is still printing these shirts off and their lawyers advise them that they'll be fine with it should probably give you some indication that they're not taking this like they're going to get in trouble for printing these things off. I think it's lousy that this bar over in Philadelphia is trying to pull this right now. I really do. I went online. A lot of people are supporting the bar. They say, oh, go for you. Go get it. It's yours. No, it's not yours. This bar in Philadelphia does not own Play Gloria. Give me a break. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. This blog here, the author is Danny, it doesn't say the last name, it's just Danielle. She continues to say, the intellectual property right that could exist in an original Play Gloria logo is a copyright. This is limited, though, to one's expression of Play Gloria. If I decide to make an original and creative t-shirt design of Play Gloria, then that is copyrightable, and no one can copy the exact design or a derivative of it. However, people can create their own designs using Play Gloria as long as those designs do not copy another person's Play Gloria design. So does the word Play Gloria, is it designed in a way that's used over and over again by these other companies? No. They're trying to take something that's not theirs. Classic, classic Philadelphia mentality. 436-7900. We'll take some of your calls on Overnight America KMOX. Wow, that is hard to believe. Mike Shannon, 80 years old today. I knew that was coming, and I kind of forgot at the same time. Wow. Really, really cool. Now, since we're talking sports, there was an update, too, with the Cardinals Hall of Famer Bob Gibson. And there was a statement that was provided to KMOX from Dick Zitzman. And I thought, you know what? Maybe instead of playing the statement, I could just play the interview. Because he was on with Tom Ackerman this morning, well, Sunday morning, sports on a Sunday. If you missed it, I'm just going to play it for you. We'll get an update on Bob Gibson. There are two baseball jerseys I purchased when I moved here. Well, actually, three jerseys I purchased when I moved here to St. Louis. I bought a Yadier Molina jersey for myself and my son. So when we go to the games, we can both wear a Yadi jersey, which is kind of cool. But then I bought another jersey for myself. It was a Bob Gibson jersey. I wanted to get one that was a throwback, and I thought it was safe for Yadi. You know, he's going to be someone that retires here as a St. Louis Cardinal. Oh, better. But, you know, I wanted to get one of the old throwback kind of player jerseys, and I thought, who better than Bob Gibson to start with? All of the great players that played for St. Louis, I wanted to start with him. And when I read the news that Cardinals Hall of Famer Bob Gibson is going to be undergoing cancer treatment, pancreatic cancer treatment, let's play this interview with his longtime friend joining Sports on a Sunday with Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman with you, Sports on a Sunday morning. Cardinals manager Mike Shildt will be with us for the hour. But first, we wanted to get an update from Mr. Zitzman on one of our favorite people in the history of sports, that's for sure, and in St. Louis, Bob Gibson. Dick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm fine. Thank you. Doing very well.
Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for the statement last night passing along the information about Bob Gibson, who is about to undergo pancreatic cancer treatment. Tell us the latest on your great friend, Bob Gibson.
Well, he's been in the hospital this past week in Omaha and was prior to that in Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, getting some diagnosis, and it was confirmed that he does indeed have pancreatic cancer. He is scheduled to be released from the hospital in Omaha today, and is also scheduled, at least he told me yesterday, was scheduled to commence his chemotherapy treatments, the first one being tomorrow.
And he informed you a while back that he would not be able to make it. In fact, to other people at the Hall of Fame as well, that he would not be able to make it to Cooperstown. And he let those people know what he was battling, correct?
Yes. Bob and Wendy sent a statement to Jane Forbes Clark, chairman of the Hall of Fame, and had asked her to pass along to the living Hall of Fame members a statement which outlined his condition.
He is as tough a competitor as we've ever known. Cancer is in for a fight here, Dick Zitzman.
Yeah, I would think so. I wouldn't want to be on the cancer side. My money's on Bob on this one.
When you look back at his career, what jumps out at you when Bob Gibson came to the mound? What was somebody up against at the plate?
Well, just complete intimidation, and I've never met a guy in my business career or really otherwise who is as fierce of a competitor and as determined an individual that there is. He would take no quarter, and he knew he could beat you at any given time, and he was out to do it, and he did it.
He has made his home in Omaha, where he went to college at Creighton, where he spent a lot of his time. But he frequently comes to St. Louis, and you've been part of many of his visits. And I've seen him so many times now out in the public, speaking to fans, interacting. Some things that come to mind are his wonderful programs he's done with Dan McLaughlin, the television voice of the Cardinals on Fox Sports Midwest. They've had such a great rapport.
Yeah, they have. Dan does quite an interview and is a great MC. And in fact, Bob enjoys being around, being in Dan's company. And you know, Bob enjoys talking about his career. He never liked to get up in front of people and talk about himself necessarily. But in a question and answer format, he really is. He embellishes on his life, his career, and it's very informative and very interesting.
What have you noticed from him just from, you know, you look at his age, he's going to be 84 in November. That comes at a surprise. I mean, the guy pops out of the car on opening day. He's out and about. I mean, he has been an incredible ball of energy, really has, throughout his life.
Yeah, Bob's always been a very strong individual. And in fact, when I've been speaking to him frequently, and about a month ago, he was remarking to me, this is one of the first times he's really felt old. And but you know, as we just said a few moments ago, he's up for the fight, and he's up for the challenge, and he's going to battle it all the way through.
Well, he has not only the great Cardinals family, but the incredibly powerful Cardinals Nation, millions of fans around the world who will be right by his side with this fight and encouraging him and praying for him. And we are behind him all the way, Dick Zitzman. And we appreciate your time on KMOX. You're a great friend. And thank you so much for the information about Bob.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom, and have a good day.
You too. There's Dick Zitzman with the latest on Bob Gibson.
All right. That was actually from this morning on Sports on a Sunday. Tom Ackerman there performing that interview, which I thought was well worth replaying. Bob Gibson, Godspeed to you, man. I know you're going to do this. He's going to do it. He's absolutely on his way to doing it. All right. Well, we did the Play Gloria thing, but there was something else I saw that popped up online. Oh, here's a story from KMOV. The whole KMOV story is a little bit interesting to me because not often do you see those little scooters zipping around and think to yourself, oh, that's a good thing. Most people are annoyed by them. Most people see them as a nuisance. They see them as a terrible disaster waiting to happen, someone about to get hurt. But for one man, it actually saved his life. Check this one out.
Connor O'Shea says bike sharing saved him from homelessness.
Whoa, how does bike sharing save you from homelessness?
OFO bike saved my life. I got a subscription for the OFO bike, and with that, I was able to get a delivery job out in Clayton. And because of that, I saved enough money to get myself out of that situation.
Wow, so he used the bike as transportation to deliver in that area. I guess that's one way to do it. See the food via delivery bike. I guess if you're close enough to any certain location, you could do it via bicycle. It might even be a little bit faster depending on how you travel, if you can go on the sidewalk, even though you're not supposed to. But it's probably a little bit quicker if you have to, you can avoid traffic altogether, or you can get a way around it. Well, good for this guy. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. So he's got to be very encouraged by all these bikes he sees everywhere.
Connor now works downtown at Sauce on the Side. While he's a big supporter of companies like Lime and Bird, he says he sees too much reckless behavior on scooters.
Oh, okay. So he was someone that was down on his luck. He was homeless. Hey, this helped him out. But boy, when he sees everyone else on him, he thinks, oh boy, not them.
There is no enforcement.
What upsets him the most? Parents who ride on the scooters with their children, something Bird and Lime prohibits. Last week, he took this photo.
There was a mother with her infant child and a baby Bjorn riding around, you know, without a helmet.
Bird and Lime.
You know, honestly, I don't know what this article is about. The whole story that KMOV did, it took a real weird twist, didn't it? So the first part of the story is, hey, congratulations to you. You're no longer homeless. You're turning it around. You have some income. You're able to get back on track, so you're not going to be out on the streets. You got, you know, not turning to other things in your life. And then, oh, I don't know, 40 seconds into it, it switches lanes real quick, and it says, well, actually, we're using this as another opportunity to complain about all of these little motorbikes all around town, which is the same story they've been doing and we've been doing and I've been doing. It's like the same story. There's been no changes in these things. The freshest thing about these little bikes and these motor scooters is that this guy actually used it for good, as opposed to, oh, I want to try it out. And then they try it out and say, oh, yeah, that was fun. And then they never use it again. I'm always just absolutely shocked that more people haven't hurt themselves or killed themselves on those things in downtown. You see them littered all over the place, but the people that ride on them, they have, I mean, completely zero care for their own safety, because one, they don't really wear any protection when they're on those things, no helmets or anything like that. But number two, they don't really obey the regular traffic laws. It is a motors, but they should be following these things. But, you know, they'll go out just like the pedestrians. Doesn't matter when they cross, they'll just cross. Doesn't matter when they're going in front, they could go between cars. You know, and there was the one that you hear all the time over in the Del Mar Loop. You got that failed trolley system. You hit yourself a little trolley track when you're riding one of those things, and you're not going to have a trolley time. You're going to have a terrible time. So this guy gets it.
Bird and Lime both require helmets. They prohibit double riding. And
yeah, I'm sure. I got to say, I've never once seen someone riding those things with a helmet on. And I look out the window a lot.
And riders must be over 18. The city has similar regulations in place. They say anyone who violates them could be fined.
I asked police whether they plan to enforce these regulations. I'm told if an officer sees a violation, then they're encouraged to take action. But because the department doesn't have enough officers, they say it's difficult to prioritize scooter enforcement.
Yeah, like the police are going to bother with that. What's going to happen? I mean, let's look. Is there any upside for the police? So they got to try to track down one of these people, and they're on a vehicle in the street, and this person just zips through on the sidewalk somewhere else, probably easily evading. So now they got to chase one of these knuckleheads around. Okay, and then they get up to him, and what? They're going to be accused of harassing this guy. And then there's no win situations for them. They'll be enforcing the law, and they're going to try to make it so people are safely using these things. But they won't care. You know, someone will pop out a cell phone. Oh, here's St. Louis police harassing me, and I'm just trying to get around economically over here. What's wrong with, you know, then all of this lousy rhetoric junk online. How can you blame the police officers to say they got better stuff to worry about? I mean, we have shootings going on like crazy in the city right now. We're tracking for higher homicides than we had last year. I mean, we're higher than all of the key areas than we should be right now. We're down police officers. We got some rough areas that need a lot of attention. And we got a lot of issues here. The people riding around the Lime bikes without helmets, you think that's what we should be using our attention on? Come on now. Well, good for this guy to turn himself around. You know, when there's a will, there's a way. Even if he didn't have the bike or the lime, I'm sure he'd have been able to find it with that sort of mentality. I'm sure he would have been able to do it. So at least there was one positive story we can take away. One. That's all you need sometimes. Oh, guess what? Yeah, it's almost Prime Day. What can you expect with Prime Day? And there was a story in USA Today about a disabled veteran's home that went up for auction. This drives me crazy, stories like these. Absolutely nuts. This is Overnight America, KMOX. I want to move to a story that is going on in Arizona. The Arizona Republic published this one. Rebecca Sanders is the name of the reporter. And an Air Force veteran by the name of Jim Borner may lose his home because of a tax bill. Tax bill. Now, I want you to think about this. You find yourself owing taxes to the government. You believe you pay those taxes to the government. And then you find out that you may have underpaid your taxes to the government. The government comes and says, hey, you owe us taxes. And then you say, oh, I paid all my taxes. What are you talking about? And then the government sells your house without telling you. Someone else through the legal system has now obtained that house and now is going to throw you out of your house over back taxes. How much are we talking? How much back taxes are we talking? $236. Now, according to this, the Air Force veteran, Jim Borner, disabled. He had some issues. I believe he's 49 years old, suffers brain injuries through a training exercise in 1991, also spinal injuries that he received at the Kessler Air Force Base in Mississippi. And he, as part of this interview, you'll hear him lay out what he believes happened. And now people are saying there's nothing he can do about it. I mean, how do you like that? How do you like that? You have a house, and in this case, it's a trailer. Like, he lives in a trailer park, so it's a mobile home. And they treat it as property as opposed to like a permanent residence. So since it is property and the government says you owe them taxes, they just decide, well, okay, we're just going to sell it off to make what we owe. And for some reason, the $236, they couldn't figure out that the auction price would have been way above what the taxes were owed to begin with. So really, I don't know why you would even start the proceedings on something like this. For $200 and some, you would auction it off? I mean, you don't got better things you can do? I mean, seriously, as the United States government or whoever made this decision to do this, you're telling me that you couldn't have said, okay, well, maybe this isn't worth our time to auction this off? I mean, $200 and some, we got other things, that more people that owe us a lot more money that we should be going after right now. This is what you're focusing on, is this disabled veteran? So here's him telling his story.
In 2018, so last year, about in June, the sheriff came and knocked on the door and showed his badge and said, hey, I'm the sheriff, and did you know that you have some back taxes that are due? I said, no, sheriff, I paid my back taxes. I paid my taxes last year. There shouldn't be anything owed. And he said, well, you know, you might want to get it taken care of because, you know, they can do a seizure of the home and blah, blah, blah. So I went and made sure that those taxes were paid, and they were paid. There was an amount of tax that was owed from the previous owner, which I don't know how that is legal, but that's what I was told by the sheriff, and I was told that by the new buyer. I heard that this man, Alex Patron, bought my home.
All right, so let me pause right there for a second. So when he's saying that the previous owner owed taxes on that piece of property, normally when you purchase a home, you get title insurance, right? You go through and they make sure there's no liens on the home, because you don't want to get in trouble. Now, if they make a mistake, normally you can go back through the title insurance and say, okay, you made a mistake, this is owed here, and it's taken care of. That's the whole idea. That's the reason why you buy that sort of thing. Who knows if that process was skipped because it wasn't a permanent residence and this was a trailer inside of a trailer home. But still, there's a couple of other details that, here's the part I'm having a hard time with, and this is where I'm going to sound pretty lousy. There's some holes in the guy's story. I don't know what he's saying that may be stretching the truth a little bit. So the fact that there was 200 and some that could have been left from the previous owner, I don't know if that's true or not. I really don't know. Because as part of this article, and the Arizona Republic brought up, they mentioned a few things. They said that he tried to apply for the certain tax exemption because he is a disabled veteran on very low income. In fact, you know, he can't work. I mean, he's got spinal injury and has a brain injury from his service in the Air Force. He's 49 years old, unable to work. So he is able to qualify for this special way to, you know, drop his taxes. He said he applied for it twice, and the government there in Arizona said they don't have record of him applying for it. He not only did he say he applied for it, but they also said that he said he received a postcard in the mail saying that he was approved. Now, the agency that looks through these applications mentioned that they don't send postcards out. So there's that side of it too. However, the government is working on his behalf. They said officials are scrambling to find a loophole, but they say there's nothing they can do. The new owner doesn't want to negotiate to give him back at this point. So part of this article too, and right before I play this part where he's talking about interacting with the new owner. So the guy comes in and apparently he buys this house at auction for a couple thousand dollars. It was actually, I forgot what the total price was. Let me see if I can find it in this article real quick. It was like $4,000 or $5,000. Okay, $4,400. The guy buys it and he shows up and says, oh, this is mine. And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. This is my place. He had no idea the person that was living in this home, that it was sold from underneath him. So that's a little concerning. So he comes in and he tries to hardball the person that's living in there and says, okay, I'll sell it back to you for $30,000. He said, what are you, $30,000? He's like, no, this is nuts, $30,000. Then the guy said, okay, $52,000. The guy said, you're nuts, you're crazy. And he said, fine, I'm not selling it to you at all. And done, he leaves. So now he's been saying, you know, get your stuff and get out. I'm going to start the eviction process. And there's nothing you can do about it. And there's nothing you could say or do. There's nothing anyone else could say or do. You're not going to have a place to live, and see you later, bye. So this guy buys it and doesn't care. There's no sympathy story here. You know, I understand. The guy thinks he's buying it outright. The government legally sold it to him. If anything, the government really, really put the screws to this disabled veteran big time. Here's the veteran himself, Jim Borner, that talks about his interaction with the guy. But, you know, the interesting part of this is the real name is the person that bought the place, called Lester Payne. He purchased it under a business called Advanced Dynamic Energy Limited. So he didn't buy it for himself or for someone else. He bought it as a company. And a lot of times these companies do this. They'll find auction properties. They'll buy them in bulk, or, you know, they'll buy a bunch of them and hoping that they're habitable so they can turn a quick profit on these things. So obviously the guy doesn't really care about the sob story. He's just one of those dudes that, hey, you know, this is livable.
At auction, you make something your home. You know, you make it the place where you hunker down and live. And some guy comes in and says, how long will it take for you to get out? You know, it's a bit frustrating. So I'm worried that I'm going to be put out in the street. I'm worried that they're going to say, yep, this is Alex's home now. I don't know what you're going to do with your stuff, but you got to get it out of here. I love my home. I love my neighbors. You know, every penny I have, this was my nest egg. You know, that's why I paid cash for it. This is where I was going to retire. And now I don't have that assurance anymore.
This is real terrible. It's a terrible story. Man, government really screwed this up. I gotta say, whoever approved this, oh, you owe $200 on your mobile home, $250 on your mobile home, we're gonna proceed this to auction. You gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. There's gotta be a process, stupid bureaucracy. There's gotta be someone with at least a little common sense in there to look at that and say, maybe we don't auction this off right now. Maybe we don't take action on $250. Maybe we don't put a guy on the street because of that. But no, no one's got common sense. I mean, all the government officials, after they're shamed with how they handled this situation, the Arizona Republic comes in. Oh, then they start moving quickly on this one. But, you know, leading up to that, no one cares. It's just, you know, another sheet of paper that someone didn't look at when they signed it. That's how it goes, I guess. Says the stress is wearing on him. It's maddening. Yeah, I could lose my home over $200. Yeah, ain't that the truth? There's a couple of things they mention here. One part, it says the sheriff's office typically doesn't auction a home until a year or more after late taxes rack up. So I was curious why they move so quick on a 2018 taxes, which is, you know, you file in 2018, which means it's 2017. So if the file date's 2018 and it's only, you know, July of 2015, normally, they would be late, but it would be about a year late. Normally, they don't move this quickly. So why would they do it for something like this? And then again, why would they only do it for a couple hundred dollars? Plus, you know, if the sheriff's coming around, they got to know the situation, right? If I were this guy, there's a few things I would do. Number one, you're losing it anyway. There's nothing you can do about it. I would strip that place bone. Like, basically, if you're eating a chicken wing and you ate everything off the wing and the only thing that's left is the wing, that's what I would do to that place. And I would take everything out. I would go and I'd sell everything. Anything of value in there. Fridge, stove, anything. Windows. I would strip that thing to make it look like it was, you know, abandoned in a bad part of St. Louis. So by the time they get in there, there's nothing left. Obviously, what can you do? I mean, what are they going to do at that point, right? Yours up until you're out, until you're evicted, I guess. And then they're getting it as is. So this is pretty ridiculous altogether. I'm just so disappointed that this is happening. And I'm sure it happens all the time. I'm sure it's happening to a bunch of honest people. It's a shame that it takes a news article to point some of these things out. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Let me pop on to Amazon.com. There it is, Prime Day, starting at midnight. Well, West Coast time, so 2 o'clock our time. So about another hour from now. Oh, people are all getting all crazy on that, huh? Going super duper crazy on something like that. You know, I'm looking at some of these deals and things, and there's some of your common deals, your TVs, your Amazon products. They want you to put a listening device in your home, so they want you to buy one of those. You know, I have Prime. My wife and I, we love it. We use Prime all the time. That should be their phrase, shouldn't it? Use Prime all the time. But it's great. You can get something delivered to your house 1 or 2 days. That's all it takes. So if you're looking for some sort of Amazon Fires or TVs or rings for your front door or different other tablets or the Echoes or, you know, the e-readers, the Kindles, things like that. This is a good opportunity for you to pick up discounted technology. But that's the thing. You got to know what you want for this sort of thing. If you just want to go through and search and buy to buy, man, you're going to be in trouble. Because in the future, there'll always be deals on things. You don't have to buy it right now. Like around the holidays, we always look for things online. My wife and I always purchase things ahead of time when we find them cheap. And then we just store them for our kid. And then he can get them at Christmas or whatever. It doesn't have to know we bought them over the summer. Because, you know, he's still going to enjoy it then. But still, you don't have to get it right now. Because, you know, Thanksgiving will come around. There'll be more big deals. You know, Christmas time, there's a lot more deals. So Amazon Prime Day, unless you're specifically looking for something, do yourself a favor. Don't go out there and overspend. Why? Because, here's the latest from CBS News. Most Americans, oh, wrong one, sorry. Most Americans, and we look at how much people actually owe, they owe money. They don't have money. They're actually in some pretty bad financial problems right now. Oh, I grabbed the wrong article. Oh, man. Well, I used to have it right here. It looks like I don't have it anymore. Sorry. Well, I had an article here about just people in debt in general. There's a lot of Americans in debt. Oh, here it is. Yeah, U.S. consumer debt surges to record highs. Says consumer debt is surging, fueled by rising mortgage debt, student loans, and a binge on credit card use. So binging on credit card use and Amazon Prime Day go hand in hand. You may want to watch out for these sort of things. So know what you're getting yourself into in a couple hours. I don't know if you're going to be up all night shopping or anything like that. But a lot of the other retailers are also doing deals. Walmart, Best Buy, Microsoft, eBay, Target, Bed Bath & Beyond, Newegg, they all have their sort of deals that they go on to try to go at the same time as Amazon. They realize that people are going to be online shopping, so they don't want to miss out on an idea. Amazon Prime, you have to have a membership to. So Amazon Prime does cost money. It's roughly about $100 a year, a little more maybe. I think they just rose the price, $110, $120 a year. But you get the shipping. A lot of people makes you wonder if they say it's really worth it, the money that you're saving on that sort of thing. I think it's worth it. But you can sign up for free if you want to do a free trial. That gives you the ability to buy all of these deals. But this is what they say you should do. There's certain websites that let you search for products and how much the products cost, so you can tell if you're getting a good deal on these things. So if you're looking for a specific anything, there's a website called CamelCamelCamel.com. It's a goofy website. My wife and I use it all the time. You type in what you are looking for, and it'll tell you, okay, here's how much it costs then and now. This is a good time to buy it. Here's not a good time. And if the price ever dips down low enough that it's at a price point you want it at, you can tell it to alert you, and then you know where to go and when to buy it. So try that. Go online. See if you're getting a good deal, but just not. Don't assume you're getting a good deal. Doesn't that drive you crazy? You go into some of these retailers, and they mark down the price, and you're like, oh, this is great. Look, it's $20 off. This is a great time to buy. And then you realize you've been duped because they jacked the price up $20 only to drop it $20 to make it look like you're saving money, but really they're just playing some mental games with you. Ain't that something that's a little bit crazy? So yeah, just double check, make sure you're doing that before you get too crazy. And you add some more credit card debt, which you already have. Please don't. All right, next hour. What caused Bob Costas to give me a call? Well, we had an interview with him last Thursday. I want to replay it for you because I thought it was a great conversation and it's worth replaying. That's coming up next in Overnight America.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.